what his word declared, he still has one encased in stone. And as Jesus said, if these people won't praise me, the rocks will praise me. I think God's word is the most fascinating thing in this world. Van Nuys says, listen to this, this is subtle. If this is pyramid number 9, I'll have to go to work in the morning before you even get to the foothills. This one is not so subtle. San Jose says, Doc, are there any female angels? If so, they must not be very attractive if the other angels had to come down here to mate with the daughters of men. You know what, at least I'm accomplishing. We're talking about these biblical things without all this spiritual nonsense. The most fundamental rule of biblical interpretation, expect it to mean what it says. Hawthorne. Now, I haven't gotten much sleep since I've been watching you, so why should this night be any different? Keep on going. Castro Valley, New King's House tonight. Was a Protestant, then a Catholic, then a Jehovah's Witness. Then started watching Dr. Scott. Says he teaches the whole Bible. Maybe you're sitting on the book, Doc. I have a Southern Baptist background, that's what I thought. I have a Southern Baptist background, and you're answering a lot of my questions. No, I'm not sitting on that book. Have you read Heirs of the Gods by Lee Gladden, publishers Rosen and Wade? Nope. He can order it if I want him to. Please do. Wes Covina said, I've read the Tower of Babel was 10 miles in diameter. That's referenced in the book of Jasher. The workers built living quarters along as they went up, and it took a worker 1 year to reach the top. The rocks that built Babylon came from the tower. Well, I'm not surprised. And there it is, Huntington Beach, that wants to know what it takes to get to my library. When it was explained that I carry it with me, he asked if he could come along and carry it for me and become the keeper of the books just to browse. Says the things you teach are things you've been studying since he was 12 years old but stopped when he became a Christian. What kind of Christian did you become? One of those locked in kinds, I hope not. He's so excited you're teaching about such things. Good. Can I talk to you, Wes? Let's just make it easy for him. Split the screen and take a microphone right over there to him. Most people who have watched me for a long, long time know that I never embarrass anyone, never name drop, and wouldn't have in this case if Wes hadn't taken the initiative himself to speak out and identify that it was listening to the teaching here. I'll let him tell you. I just want to make that prelude that I don't exploit personalities. Wes, along with many, finds this an island of truth. You that are watching instantly, I've been getting people to call and say, is that Wes Parker on the phones there? Yes, it is. Many times, award winner, first baseman of the Dodgers. Looks like he's still young enough to play, but quit because he didn't like the lifestyle. I'll let Wes pick it up. The reason I'm having him here, well, he's here because he wants to be here. But the reason I'm going to talk to him is there are lots of people out there that have no idea how many hundreds and hundreds of people find things here very sane Watchman Nee wrote a book a long time ago he called The Normal Christian Life. But it was so different from traditions, he pointed out the tragedy is the normal is considered abnormal. In our day, as we've watched the reaction of the city to the Lakers winning their championship, sports figures have become symbols to which many people look. They are not only seen in their activity on the playing field, they usually move into other dimensions of leadership in life. It's an honor that Wes has found here what thousands of others have found. We're not so abnormal and off-center as some of the traditional Christians might think. And I said when I came to town, give me not the job of transplanting saints. I want to turn lights on to hungry people that are seeking truth. And with that, Wes, why are you here?
Oh, I had many chances, Gene, to become a Christian. I had a lot of people try to Christianize me when I was playing baseball. And neither of my parents were Christians. My mother is now, partially because of you. I really bought a cable system here in L.A., not to become a Christian, but to follow some of the ball games because I announce baseball games now. And I happened to find you on that cable system totally by accident and had the same initial reaction that I think everybody does. Who is this white-haired, crazy guy who's on 24 hours a day? And I think the first time I finally stayed on that station and listened to you was about a month later. I listened to you for half an hour and said, this guy knows what he's talking about. You're the first Christian teacher that ever made sense to me. And that's why I became a Christian. I never could understand Christianity or believe in it until I heard you. And everybody talked about faith, have faith. And as you pointed out, how do I know he lives? He lives in my heart. That's just not enough, not for me. And I needed somebody like you who was grounded in facts, or at least as close as you can come to the facts without having eyewitnesses. And that made a tremendous impression upon me. And now I can have a faith that's based on some kind of factual evidence, whereas before it was based on somebody's opinion or thoughts. At least that's the way I interpreted it. So you've been unbelievably important to me in my life, and the reason I'm here tonight is to repay some of that.
Yeah, since that, and that's what I often, you know, really want to do, is become a signpost to get people started. Since that time, you've been re-verifying and searching out for yourself and settling it for yourself, right?
Yeah, and it hasn't been easy. Just like you said, that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean it's a bed of roses. It's a struggle. And I've wavered even since I've been listening to you, but I keep coming back to it. And each time you come back stronger. And I'm a long ways along the line, along the road from where I began, although I'm sure there's still quite a ways to go.
That's an exciting bit of news about your mother, too.
Yeah, and my brother.
This is the first time you're telling
my brother.
You told me about your brother the other day, but this is the first time I hear about your mother. That's wonderful news.
Gina, we've talked about this before. The one thing I can't understand is why people are so reluctant to believe what you're doing. Now, I know that you've got some unusual qualities about you. I talked to Don Mumma today, the pastor at the Bel Air Church. I wanted to get his permission to write to President Reagan about this FCC thing, and he okayed it, and I am going to write that letter. He had some wonderful things to say about you. He also had some things to say that he doesn't understand about you. You're driving a limousine, for instance, some of the silences on television, the fact that you get angry on television. A lot of people don't understand these things about you. I frankly don't care why you do those things. I'm more interested in what you have to say.
Did you happen, since you both were ball players, and Don Newmar is a great testimonial to the grace of God, since you were both ball players, did you have the chance to ask Don if you'd ever gotten angry since you've been a Christian behind closed doors?
Well, I'm sure he's not censoring you. He just
No, I'm
I think what
I'm
it is
understanding. What?
No, I didn't talk to him about that. You're just totally out of the mold, and I think that completely freaks people out. And I think
what
you have.
What I mean to is, the reason I get angry on television is I live here.
You know, I was on Pat Robertson's show just a couple of Fridays ago. And just to show you how people react, you know this already, but some of the people watching don't. I was told about four times before I went on that show not to mention your name, including 5 minutes before I went on the air by Ben, who does the interviewing. And I was treated very well there. I don't want to put them down. But every time I asked them why, don't you want me to mention Gene Scott's name on your show? Nobody would answer. And this is a reaction you get, at least that I get, over and over and over again, is people don't want to talk about you, they don't want to mention your name, they don't understand you, and I don't understand their attitude. Because if they take the time to really listen to you for 5-10 minutes, it's like you say, the truth rings a bell, and it's unmistakable. If you just listen, you'll hear it.
Wes, yeah, go ahead. I'm glad you came along. Wes told me the other night. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't do it. Wes told me the other night. Where's the camera? This one? Wes told me the other night. He said, Gene, if you ever get discouraged, it was after a week ago Sunday, I think it was, when I started preaching, and those that are discerning know, I didn't preach what I came to preach. I started something and couldn't quit. And I didn't know why, and apparently a week ago Sunday ministered to you, as it did to others. But Wes said, if you get discouraged, Gene, just call me up. And the kind of encouragement that Wes gives is the kind of teacher is restored by, because he doesn't care whether I get mad on television or do other funny things. It's the Word of God that he listens to, and the word he hears, and thank God I have people who give me the room I give you. You know, I get mad on television because I live in front of the cameras and because I'm human. And I, once in a while, the engineers back in the room say, Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever sit back there and sometimes say, did he really belch? Chicken? They nudge each other and say, yeah, well, you know, when you have no outtakes, you are the outtake. And when you're here the hours that I'm here, I am what I am. I don't ask anybody to follow me. The thing that I was pointing at earlier in words is that I've watched you with your Bible. I've watched you check it out for yourself. You're learning. What I'm really saying is you're no longer... I may have started you down the road, but you're not dependent upon me for the trip. You've listened to what I've said, and that truth has grabbed you. And though listening to more teaching can give you more guidance, you're not dependent on me. The truth that you've got can carry you if you've got the guts and the stamina to stay with it. And it's that which I want people to hang on to. And Wes said, if you want encouragement, call me, because he listens to the messages, came for months before he made his decision, and he said he had encouraged me. Yesterday, I was pretty low about something. I remember what it was, but it's not important. And my secretary said, why don't you call Wes? I should have done it, but I'm getting it now. Oh, there are lots of other people out there like you, Wes.
I would hope so. I would certainly hope so. I am so discouraged and disgusted at the situation that you're unfortunately in with the FCC, because I think that drives people away too. They perhaps figure where there's smoke, there's fire. But I've gotten pretty close to that situation too. And I, Gene, I just support you 100%. And I think we're living in a time when these kinds of things can occur, and it can be very unfortunate. I think anything that takes you away from your teaching is an absolute tragedy. Because nobody teaches the Bible like you do. Nobody. And I don't think anybody ever will. Just to point that up while you're thinking about what to say, Don Muma, who really is a fine, wonderful man, said that he listens to you to learn about the Old Testament. He gets his teachings on the Old Testament directly from you, which is a terrific compliment.
Yes, it is. I appreciate it. Tell them all to surround me with a little loving flesh, and I might be less of a strange bird. And that said, honestly, it's not said flippantly. I am what I am because I'm in a battlefield swinging, doing things I don't want to do that I have to do, hoping to make room to do what I live to do, which is teach. And when I ask you the question, are there hundreds other than you out there, I'm really tuning in on your statement that a lot of people tried to save you. Now, this is where I have my strong convictions that more people in some kinds of society, more people have been driven away by over-aggressive evangelism than have been brought in. And I picked up on the phrase, you've said it to me elsewhere, that lots of people tried to save you. I really feel keenly that there are people that go out and try to save people like big game hunters go out to bag a trophy. And particularly in this Hollywood circuit where celebrity personalities are sought because they're celebrities. Nobody bugged you. Nobody, you know, I'm really breaking a tradition to give this pinpointing of pressure on you. And I hope I don't push it too far. But there must be hundreds in this community out there that likewise have been literally alienated by too many attempts to try to save them, that are still hunting and searching for truth. And, you know, I think they're out there, but I'm asking a direct question. Is your experience, do you think you're unique? I guess I'll say it that way. Do you think you're unique, or do you really think there are lots of others out there looking as you looked, maybe repelled with defensive mechanisms? But if the light can keep... Oh, you tell me. Yeah, I think you know what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think there are. Well, we know of other celebrities who are what we call closet watchers, who watch you and admire you. You run into them yourself when you go around town, out to dinner, whatever. So they do exist. Why they wouldn't want to come to the church, I don't know, Gene, unless they might feel that they would be bothered. I never felt that way, and I never have been. And I've been very comfortable being in your church and being here with everyone. I think when you get into something like religion, whatever celebrity status you have disappears, and it should. And it's much more comfortable for all of us just to be human beings. And I really can't say why more people don't come forward. I've been amazed. I thought the first time when I came to your church, I couldn't get through the front door. I mean, I figured I'd have to be there at least an hour in advance just to get a seat. I'm astounded that your place is not overrun with people. I think they're out there, but why they don't actually come to the church, I don't know, unless they prefer to watch on television.
Which is an important point to those King's Houses who come once a month. They don't realize that as their giving is a testimonial of value, so is their presence a testimonial of value. Because that made an impression on you, that you told me you came an hour too early, thinking you'd have to come that early to get in. And you were surprised to find there were some seats there when it opened. And that a word to the wise should be sufficient. Well, there's got to be sight to see light. And you've honored me by saying, I said what turned you around. Let's go to the other side of the coin, Wes. I talked earlier about prevenient grace. What stirring in you made you, after all your success in baseball, and you left baseball because you didn't like the lifestyle, you may want to put it in your own words, how do you explain your readiness for the truth?
It's a hard thing to explain. All I can tell you is that I was not happy inside, way down inside. You can be happy on the surface, and I achieved a lot in my baseball career, and I made a good deal of money, and I achieved notoriety. That doesn't make it. And there are a lot of people that don't have those things that think if they did, they'd be happy. If my word's any good to them, I can tell you that it doesn't work that way. You have to find some sort of inner peace and satisfaction somewhere deep down inside, which money, notoriety, fame, celebrity status, and so on just will not achieve. And I really believe that this is the area that you have to find it in, is in the field of religion, the Bible, something along those lines. It's been a tremendous help to me, but Gene, I wouldn't sit here and tell you that I got it made, because I don't. I'm working at it.
Sure. I want to hear you say that. I mean, there was something you wanted. I don't even think you knew when you turned that station channel selector hunting a ball game what you were looking for. So is it fair to describe an absence of something without knowing what
yeah,
it was?
It could be that. The point I think I should make, though, is I was exposed to Christian teaching before, and it didn't take. But with you, it did. And that's the hard thing to explain. I think the reason for that is that Christianity, to me, was not sold properly. And normally is not sold properly by most of the preachers, at least not as far as I'm concerned. Now, that could be because I was an athlete, and I'm looking for a stronger approach. I think that would appeal to me more than just hearing about the fact that God is love. As you said, He can be anything He wants to be. And it was very important for me to know that God could get angry, had a temper, was strong, that Jesus was strong, and also to know that the resurrection is almost a proven fact the way you explain it. Your Easter messages are absolutely unbelievable in terms of laying a groundwork for believing in the resurrection. And it's like I said before, for someone to come up to me and say, you should be a Christian, and then for me to say, well, how do you know you're right? And he says, well, because He lives in my heart, that really doesn't make it. And you said that yourself before. That's fine for him, but not for the guy that he's talking mm-hmm. to. And I needed somebody like you that would lay it out there as close to factual evidence as is humanly possible, to give almost a step-by-step proof of why Jesus walked out of that tomb. When I heard your Easter messages and some of your teachings on Revelations, you've got to be an absolute idiot not to understand what you're talking about and not to see the truth of what you're saying. And that's really what did it for me.
So once again, what I have hung my whole life on in Christianity proves out that Christianity is based upon a fact, and you can lay that factual foundation from which faith grows. Your turnaround experience was no ball of fire in the sky and tingles up your back. You just grabbed hold of a benchmark and are moving toward it. You aren't perfect yet. I heard you say that on the 700 Club, and I felt like they sort of cut you off, like maybe they didn't want to find out you weren't perfect. The Christianity didn't just wrap it all up in a ball of wax and cover you with it.
You know, I was treated very well back there, but you saw it, and you warned me, and I was warned ahead of time. They told me not to mention your name, and we went through about 5-6 minutes of a 12-minute interview. And finally got to the point where I did mention your name, that you were the man that turned my life around. Shortly thereafter, Ben, who was interviewing me, went into a prayer, which took up the rest of my interview. And I can't understand how these things always happen when your name is mentioned.
Well, you got to admit that if that leaves my name, leads them to prayer. The thing that I don't really mind them turning, if they did, I don't mind them turning you off for me, because, you know, there are those who know the truth, and I've learned to live with that. I do mind if you got shut off for theological reasons, because I do think it's important to communicate that you didn't come from a dastardly life of terrible sin because you threw a baseball and suddenly became a saint that once in a while God had to say, move over, Jesus, because I think Wes is better than you. It is a most natural happening of a man that is like a guy that's sailing, but he's got a compass out of sync. And you know something's wrong with the trip, and then you finally get your compass honed on the right line, and you're still in the same sea and the same storm, but you know where you're going.
Tell you what it's like. You ever met a guy, let's say, that meets a gal and falls totally in love and says, "I never knew it could be like this." That's the way I feel about Christianity now. I never knew it could be like this. It wasn't presented to me this way. And I even took a Bible class in college, read the whole book from cover to cover, didn't understand a word. Didn't have anybody to really explain it to me, other than take a test and hope you get a passing grade so you can graduate and get a piece of paper. I mean, that was really my exposure to Christianity. I never knew it could be like this, Gene, and I sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for being living proof that with all the effort of distasteful things we've had to do to bring this church out of its problems, what I really exist for, to see lives change. One, there are others, so I don't want them to feel left out. But the whole trip would be worth it because of you or any one of the others. So my thanks to you for proving all the shots on fire and don't miss.
Just don't expect me to be perfect.
Deal, if you won't expect me. Thanks, Wes, for letting me put you on. I didn't know for sure whether it would take advantage of you, and I'd never do that. So thanks a lot. Your Torrance says there was a tenth planet between Earth and Mars which broke up for unknown reasons. Interesting. Doc, I could tell you a few things on the pyramids, but I'll let it wait for now. San Francisco says, what do you think about the Shroud of Turin? Or Turin? I find the evidence pretty convincing.
This is the end of Side 5. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over. Thank you.